Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the Southern California foothills town of Glendora, California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead lost people to Jesus, building a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you, opens your heart, and shows you how to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder. Good evening. Merry Christmas. Wow, you're not in the spirit yet, huh? Okay, maybe by the end of the service. That's cool. I'll do it myself. That's good. Or for those friends of mine who are visiting from Hawaii, mele kalikimaka. I haven't said that in many years, so I like being able to say that tonight. If you're here for the first time tonight, I'm Jim, and I'm your pastor. Welcome to Real Life. This is a great church that loves the world, loves people who are far away from church and can't imagine themselves being at church, who are sitting here at church tonight going, what am I doing here? Who dragged me to this thing? We're glad you're here. We all know what that feels like. And you know, that just means that your life is part of a bigger story. And that story is still being told. That story is still being written. And the funny thing about life is often we're not the ones telling our own story. We think we're in control for a while, but usually something will come into our lives and throw us off or surprise us. And all of a sudden you'll realize you're not the one telling your own story. Someone else is telling it. Our God loves good stories. Our God is a storyteller. And the story that we gather around this season is a beautiful one and a powerful one and a surprising one and a counterintuitive one. This is not how God shows up. The Prince family read it to us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own hometown to register. This is Luke being a good storyteller. Of the four gospel writers, the four biographers of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke is probably the best storyteller. In fact, if you, this New Year's, were going to make a resolution to start reading the Bible in 2018, you could start with Luke, and that would be a great place to start because he's a good storyteller. See, you already got something out of church tonight. All those times you've gone to church, go, I didn't get anything out of that. You got something tonight. There you go. All right, plus they're free mugs afterwards. Luke is a great storyteller, and Luke begins this story by saying, in those days, and that's exactly the same as once upon a time, right? He wants us to start to gather around this story, and he begins to cast light on the things he wants us paying attention to. Now, think of this. This is a story about a man's life, and it begins with him as a baby. So as we read his story, think of your story. Picture your story right now in your head. Like, picture your story as a book. Picture this book, and your name is the title. Your name is across the front cover of the book. And the pages are turning, right? Some of us are in chapter one. Some of us are a little further along than that. The story's being told. And when the story's done, I mean, picture, there's a dust jacket that'll surround the whole thing, that it'll have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Our stories are being told right now. So think of your story. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but picture it like a story that someone's telling around a campfire to other people who are listening. What kind of story are you telling with your life? Is it an action adventure? Is it a comedy? Some people hope it's a romance. That's the New Year's resolution. For some of us, it feels an awful lot like a documentary, and we wish we could fast forward through certain parts of it, right? Right? But your life is telling a story, whether you mean for it to or not. Your life is telling us a story about how your heart beat and what you loved and what mattered to you and what was meaningful. You're telling that story to us right now in the way you live. And honestly, I ran into a guy one time who knew that his life was a story and in a bad way. He came to me when I was working with a bunch of teenagers. And he said, a bunch of teenagers at the church. And he said, if you ever need somebody to come and talk to the teenagers and tell them what not to do, I could tell them my life story. And I thought, oh gosh, that's... what a terrible statement that you can live a life story and realize you haven't told a story well. I listened to that and I thought, oh gosh, I hope I don't do that. I hope I don't do life that way. In all great stories, there are moments where there's a pivot and everything changes. Everything hangs on that pivot. All the great stories, all the great books have moments that there's a point where everything turns. And you remember that point about the story more than anything else. If you've ever read Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea, you ever read that? Old Man of the Sea, this beautiful, long book about it's actually a tiny book, but it's a fishing trip, so it takes a long time to read. There's this one sentence right in the middle where this guy sees sharks coming after his fish. And there's this beautiful sentence that Hemingway says where the man makes a noise. He says a kind of a Spanish word. And Hemingway says, there's not a literal translation of the word, but it's the kind of sound a man might make when he feels the nails go through his hands into the wood. Oh, it's such a strong way to say it, and such a pivotal moment in the whole book. The whole book hangs on that moment. Or you read Albert Camus' The Stranger, which none of us have done since high school. And there's this moment where this guy shoots somebody else, and it says the gunshots were like knocks on the door of his undoing. What a great way to say it, the pivotal moment where everything began to unravel. Or there's this other moment in this great classic of Western literature where this young man heads off to his doom and a wise sage looks after him and says, he was our only hope. And then somebody else goes, no, there is another, right? Classics of Western literature. The new one is so good, you have to go see that. If you do nothing else tomorrow, go see the new Star Wars. You got two things out of church tonight. In today's story, little did these people know that the inconsequential, trivial little details of their lives were part of a big story. Little did they know 2,000 years ago we would be zooming in on these inconsequential, tiny little moments of their lives and paying attention to them and thinking about them and wondering about them and remembering them. Look at these different people and how they took the story. You have Augustus Caesar. A king, a ruler, a guy who ruled an empire that stretched from what we would call India to England today. He had conquered everything there was to conquer and ruled over it with an iron fist. And he wanted his name in the history books. The Caesars were known for this. They were known for wanting to leave their stamp. One of them demanded to be called Lord and Savior. The Caesars wanted to be remembered for who they were. And what does Augustus get in this? He gets like a sentence. He's almost a footnote. If people asked us on the way in tonight which Caesar was ruling when Jesus was born, I don't know that most of us would have gotten it. This great king who spent his life invested in matters of power and importance ends up kind of a footnote in the most important story ever told, a story which if we didn't tell it every year, no one would hear this guy's name. Now, how ironic that he begins the story by calling a census. He wants to count all the people. And so that means that when God is born on the earth, he only counts as one in the mind of Augustus, right? That's, you know, the sign outside of Bethlehem that says population 1504 flipped over and said 1505, and that's all Augustus cared about. God steps down on the earth, and for Augustus, like, yeah, just one more, baby, whatever. Right? I know people who live their lives this way. Who live their lives to make their mark on the earth, who live important lives. Sometimes they're involved in things like government and the military, and they want to make a big impact. Sometimes it's just in the world of business, but they handle their business seriously and soberly because they want to leave their mark. Sometimes people just manage families in this way, kind of a general leading a family, and they want to leave their mark. But understand, no matter how good a general you are, if you don't know which story is most important, you may just end up a footnote in the end. There are some great leaders on this earth who don't yet realize that the only history books that are going to be read for the rest of eternity are the history books in heaven. And the history books here are going to fade away. Some people are living to have their names counted in stories that no one's going to remember because there's only one story that goes on forever. In the Bible, there's a letter called Philippians, and in it, it says, the day will come where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the one story that goes on forever. And Augustus only gets included in there as a footnote because he happened to call a census at the time that God walked on the earth. There are people trying to live significant and powerful lives who may end up at best a footnote in the one story that counted if they miss it. Augustus is one character in this story and took on the birth of Christ with kind of an indifference. There are other people in the story of Jesus whose stories intertwined with the life of Jesus, and we now know their stories because of Jesus' story. Joseph was another one, right? Joseph, the father, the wife of Mary. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary. Augustus has called the census, and so Joseph has to go. Who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. We discover there was no room for them in the end. This dad, who had originally made plans to dismiss his unexpectedly pregnant fiancée, is now part of a story that he had no intentions of telling. He's not like Augustus. He wasn't trying to tell a story of power, but I suspect I know something about Joseph. If you've ever been with dad on a long trip in a car, you know something about Joseph. Joseph was probably concerned with order, with doing things right. He was a carpenter, and so he knew about getting measurements straight and doing things in an organized way. And having a fiancé that suddenly is found to be pregnant in some kind of sort of mysterious way is not exactly what organized people have in mind. Imagine him showing up at the end. Have you ever been on a long trip with dad and gotten to the hotel and found out they lost the reservation? That's not the right time to mess with dad. If mom is pregnant, oh my gosh, can you imagine how that would have gone down? Can you imagine Joseph at the front counter? Are you kidding me? Do you know how far we just went? Does she look pregnant to you? Because she looks pregnant to me. Come on. Right? I know Joseph. And Joseph was telling a story. It was a story about managing a business and having a family and fitting in with society and doing things right and well. Everything was to be organized. And when God got hold of the pen, the story changed directions. Poor dad. When you plan your family and your career, you don't anticipate, you don't even necessarily want the interruptions. You don't want those years where your job disappears, or you don't get the acceptance letter to college that you had hoped for, or somebody you loved goes on to heaven. There are interruptions that happen in the lives of we who try to organize things well. If that's you, don't rule out the possibility that your story is still important to the story, that your story is still being crafted and shaped and written into the story that will go on forever. If 2017 was the year in which your life was interrupted in ways that you hated, don't give up yet. God still holds the pen. God may well just be writing your story in a way that you hadn't expected. And I understand exactly what this is like. I remember in my beginning years as a pastor, my very first year as a pastor, a pastor that I respected sat down with me and talked to me, and he says, Jim, I want to tell you a few stories. He said, Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, was excommunicated not once but three times. John Calvin, the author of Presbyterian Doctrine, was fired from his church in Geneva. And not just fired, he was chased out of town. John Wesley was kicked out of his church in Georgia and put on a boat and sent back to England. And Jonathan Edwards, another theological great, was put out of his pastorate just 8 years before he died. This wise old man looked at me at the time, a young man in my 20s, green and having no idea what was in front of me. And he said, Jim, I just want you to remember, better men than you have been kicked out of the pulpit. And I thought, oh, well, that's a great note to start life on. Thanks for that, buddy. But then he said, no, but listen. He says, listen, Martin Luther would go on to found the Lutheran Church, which would be the beginning of Protestantism. He changed the history of the world through that. John Calvin would go back and actually be a pastor in the same church again in Geneva. John Wesley had a kind of a conversion experience on that boat. He basically became a Christian, or at least a more passionate Christian after that. And Jonathan Edwards wrote the best and most important works of his life in those last 8 years. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how disorganized it becomes when you've organized it so well, remember, God still holds the pen. And if 2017 has been a year of disorganization for you, just know it is not a disorganized year in the hands of God.
Augustus wanted a story of power. Joseph most likely wanted a story of order. There's another group of people in this story who, when they're interrupted by Jesus, take the interruption very differently. Augustus didn't care. Joseph was bothered. These guys, I think, were excited. It says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.' Then we learn, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told about this child." Shepherds seem like the most unlikely kinds of witnesses out there. They're exactly the wrong person to call to the side of the birth of God. Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, says that in the ancient world, shepherds were known to be the laziest of all professions. All they did was sit out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their farm animals. As a shepherd, you were of so little value to society, you were a bodyguard for sheep because their lives were more important than yours. Shepherds were unimportant in the ancient world. They weren't just one of the stooges, they were curly. It was that bad. Now, but look at this. In this story, written in the hands of God, these blue-collar outsiders who are unimportant have already gotten more airtime than Augustus Caesar. In the story that counts, in the story that goes on forever, their role in it is more important than his. You may well be going through life right now thinking, my life just isn't important enough to be a part of a story that counts. I don't think so. God still holds the pen. No matter what you have or have not achieved in this life, God can take our lives and use them for his holy purposes. No life is too big and no life is too small. The great poet W.H. Auden said that when we write the gospel, we smudge it, we mess it up, because we don't live life exactly right, but it can still be read. As we write the gospel, as we write the good news of Jesus, it can still be read. So no matter how unqualified we might feel, God still holds the pen and can use all of our lives. So if we live a life for power, we may find out we're telling the wrong story. If we live a life of organization, we may find out that God wants to interrupt. If we live a life of excitement at what God might be doing, suddenly God's interruptions are a lot more enjoyable. And then there's one more character in this story, and I wonder at her when I look at how she responds the way she does. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Unlike Augustus, who didn't care, unlike Joseph, who was bothered, she had a sense for the fact that something bigger was going on. She had a sense for the fact that there was a more important story being told, and she was willing to let her little story be written into the big story, the one that counts. This year, pay attention to the voice of the author. If you have doubts about whether or not God is there, if you have doubts about whether or not God holds your life in his hands, just know what he's doing is taking his pen and writing your story into his. There's no better story to tell than the one that goes on forever. And so if you, in your heart tonight, feel like you have been too far away from God in recent years, let me invite you to turn your heart back to Jesus tonight. It'll be your Christmas present to him and his to you. In your heart tonight, pray, Jesus, I want to be part of your story. I don't want to tell a story of power. I don't want to tell a story where everything's too organized. I don't want to tell a story where I just think that I'm too unimportant. I want my story to be written into your story. And if you'll do that and turn your heart in Jesus' directions, he'll welcome you back in. Then this year, pick up the Bible, start with Luke. Commit a little time every day to reading the story of God so that more and more his story will become your story. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that by your power, you would take our stories and turn them into a part of your story. May we not end up being a footnote. May we not miss out on that which is most important. Instead, use our lives to tell your story to the world. As you do so, may we hide in the shadow of the cross that it might be seen and not us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to Real Life? Share our podcast or find us on Instagram or Facebook at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap Give to help us welcome everyone to Real Life. God bless and have a wonderful day.